is being dedicated Leilui Nishmas Maris Rochel Leah Rav Chaim Tzvi. I'd like to speak about Inyana de Yoma a week before Purim Zayin Adar. And I'd like to try to understand perhaps a little bit of what the essence of Purim is about, to be able to tap into the Koach of the Yom, the Skula of the Yom. And as Rav Pinkus notes in his Sefer on Purim, the months of the Jewish calendar year, and particularly the holiday within the Jewish calendar year, follow a very specific pattern, where Pesach is the Leidas Am Yisrael, the birth, the Sfiras HaOmer is like the Bar Mitzvah, or the preparation of Chinuch that culminates in the Bar Mitzvah. There are many ways of understanding this. On Shavuos, the marriage is the whole Tishrei period of Sukkot and Shemini Atzeret, and the relationship of the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chanukah. And he says the height, the asterisk in one, HaTachlit Shel Kol HaZmanim is Yom HaPurim. Shehu HaMo'ed HaTshi'i V'acharon V'magal HaShanah. It's the ninth and final holiday of the Jewish calendar year. If Nisan is Rosh Chodashim, so we start in Nisan as different stops, and our final stop is in Adar, is Purim. After that, Yagia HaMo'ed HaAsiri, only then will the 10th, and 10th is always the ultimate holiday come, which is the time of Bias HaMashiach, which is the Malam Mikol HaSagot HaElu. So he says, we therefore see that all the Mo'adim, all the festivals are like Tachanot, they're stops, in order to get to your final destination. And Purim is the Tachlit Ba'atzma. It is almost a destination in its own right. It's the ultimate. It's the apex. V'davar zed tzarech bi'ur. We have to understand what this is about. Purim, the holiday which we know will not be bato lasi lovo. It's a holiday that will be with us forever. What is the koach? What's the skula? What's the power of Purim? Along these lines, we need to understand what the Nesiv HaShalom explains, that Purim is a time that Kol HaPoshet Yad, and this is source number two, note Nimlo, that anyone who extends a hand on Purim, anyone who asks for a handout, anyone who's in need of money, you give him, that She'inyan Zeh Amor Gam Klapei Mala, this is also a reference to above, which is, it's an eight ratzon where Kadosh Baruch Hu says to every Jew, B'mishteh Hayayin Ma'asheh Latech, V'inatein Lach U'maba Kachatech V'tayas, what is your request that I may do it? That Kol HaPoshet Yad, anyone who extends a hand in request to Kadosh Baruch Hu, note Nimlo, Purim is this time of skula, it's a special, auspicious time to daven. And again, we need to understand, what is this all about? That Purim is the climax, that Purim, once tefillos on Purim, have a different effect than the entire year. I'd like to begin our study with a medrash. I'd like to raise a number of questions on the medrash, then for a moment leave the medrash aside, be able to understand a little bit of the dynamics between Amalek and Klal Yisrael in the past and the story of Purim, and then go back to the medrash to see even a deeper level of understanding of what is going on in Purim time and practically the implications for our lives. The medrash is in Esther Rabba Zayin Yud Gimel, where the medrash says the following. There were 18,500 people that alchu lebeit hamishteh, that they went to the party of Achashverosh, they ate and drank and got drunk. Miyad amar ha-satan v'hilshin aleihem lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The satan immediately stood up and spoke negatively about Klal Yisrael. V'amar lefana, ribono shel olam, ad matai tidbak b'uma zu, shehem afrishim levavam me'emunatam mimcha. How long are you going to hold on to this nation which is no longer loyal to you? So at which point HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Satan, bring me a Megillah, v'chtov aleh klayah, a right destruction for the Jews. At that point, Botashah rats Eliyahu zachor latov. At that point, Eliyahu HaNavi immediately starts, you know, in a tremendous tumult. And he wakes up the Avos HaOlam, and he wakes up Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, Ad matai avos ha'olam redumi v'sheina, how could you be sleeping at such a time? V'i atem mashkichim al atzara shebneichem shruyim ba, are you not aware of the trouble that your children are in? And they said to him, what's going on? So Eliyahu Novi explains to them that Because they had anah, they enjoyed this meal of Achashverosh, Hashbaruch wants to destroy them. And here we have a very fascinating answer. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who by the Medrash, the famous Medrash with Rachel Imenu in it, by Churban Bayis Rishon, they stand up and they plead their case and the schus of and the merit of. And, I mean, Rachel ultimately was the one who was able to have the most influence, Kivyachol. But they all, you know, tried their hardest to save Klal Yisrael. Here, what do they say? Imheim avru al dara kadosh baruch hu. If they went over the will of God, v'nechtamah gzeiratam, and the gzeira has been sealed, ma anu yechulim laso, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. Sorry. So Eliyahu Navi goes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Roha Neman, how many times have you stood up and tried to be mevatel the gzeira of Klal Yisrael? What do you say here? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Klum yesh adam kasher ba'oso ador, is there someone who is a righteous person? They said, yes, there is somebody whose name is Mordechai. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Eliyahu Navi, you go inform Mordechai of what's going on and have him daven from below and I'll daven from above and hopefully the gzeira will be rescinded. We need to understand Pshat in this Medrash. What happened now that Klal Yisrael are so much in danger that has been unprecedented in Jewish history, that even when we've had times, the Avos HaOlam would stand up and come to our defense. Here, even they are silent. What was so wrong about being Nana Amosa Suda, enjoying this meal, and particularly where many Rishonim explained that it was under, you know, the Hashkacha, the Hechsher of Mordechai Tzadik, you know, you had the finest Hashkacha there. What was the problem? And obviously there are many ways to understand this Medrash, but we're going to try to look at it on one approach. Before we even tackle this Medrash, we need to have some background of what Amalek and Haman who comes from Amalek, what is their war with Klal Yisrael all about? So in order to understand this, we need to go back to the first time that Amalek comes to attack the Jewish people. It's right after the story when Klal Yisrael have crossed the Yamsuf, and they're in a situation where they have no water, and Moshe Rabbeinu is told to strike the rock, in which he does, and water comes out, and Moshe Rabbeinu calls the place Massa Umariva, because the Klal Yisrael had argued against God, Va'anosotam, and that they tested God by saying, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Ayim, is God among us or not? Immediately, Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Yisrael beRefidim. Immediately, Amalek comes and attacks Klal Yisrael in Refidim. Hasra Vulbi and Alei Shur in source number 5, the very obvious question. Question a lot of Mefarshim ask. How do we understand Pshat when Klal Yisrael say, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Imayin? Is Hashem amongst us or not? Obviously, Hashem is amongst them. Obviously, Klal Yisrael are aware. Who's the one who took them out of Egypt? Who's the one who did Esther Makos? Who's the one who split the sea? Zeh Keliva, and they were able to point to God Zeh, something direct. We have the story of the Slav, the story of the man. We just have the story of water coming from a rock. Obviously, it can't be asking on a superficial level, is God among us or not? Duh, of course, the Kaddish Baruch Hu is among them. But rather explains Rav Wolbe in a very beautiful way in source number 6. There are two very lofty aspects, or midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's one, ha'elyona, a very high one, which is called ayin. Why? Mipnei she'ein livnei adam shum asagaba. Delayed machshavet tvisei bekla. We don't even able to apprehend on any level what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about. It's beyond us. And then there's a second midah, which is called yesh, which is the Chochmah al-Yonah that Klal Yisrael on some level can understand. What they're asking is, does the Kadosh Baruch Hu interact with us on a level of Yesh, where we can, on some level, with the limited mind that we have, be able to apprehend the ways of God, or is it on a level of Ayin that it's beyond us? This seems to be a wonderful question. They're asking, how does the Kadosh Baruch Hu come and interact? They're not asking if the Kadosh Baruch Hu exists or not. The way we understand Pshat Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Mayim, is God among us or not? Of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is among them. That's not Pshat in the question. Rather, the question is Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, is Hayesh, is that aspect of Yesh of Hashem Bekirbeinu, Or it's the aspect of Ayin, Vikir Beinu. That was the question. If that seems to be a very legitimate type of question, where they're trying to understand the way Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to Klal Yisrael, so then why Vayavo Amalek? So the Yisod here that Rav Wolbe lays down is a very, very basic one. He says, in life in Source 8, at Telokim Hitalech Noach, Hitalech Lefanai Ve'yet Tamir, Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu, life is about walking before, after, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about halicha levad. It's not about walking by yourself. What does this mean? So he says, "Gmok b'chol hanagat adam Yisrael kachi gam b'machshava." With every action we do, we have to realize and be cognizant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. There's a machshava that's mitlaveh labare. There's a machshava that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a machshava which can even be in Torah, but doesn't bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that machshava is levado. That machshava is that we're walking by ourselves. And as counterintuitive as this may sound, this is really the basic reality in life, that a person can be involved in a life of Torah and mitzvot. A person can daven an entire Shemoneh Esrei and never once think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, to a certain degree, halicha levad, you're walking by yourself. To be involved in Torah mitzvot means that you feel kirvas Elokim l'tov, that closeness to Hashem is special, that you feel the relationship, you feel the depth, you feel that you're not going through life alone. When Klal Yisrael were asking this thought, Hayesh Hashem v'kirbeinu ayin, is Kadosh Baruch Hu among us or not, it wasn't a thought that was bringing them to a level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't a thought that then they said, we now feel that the Hashkocha is so much more intense, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bechina of Yesh, that I can relate to it much deeper, and the consequences and the results are whatever they may be. They were having a purely intellectual discussion for intellectual purposes alone. Such a discussion is something that brings you farther away from Hashem. That although there was nothing inherently wrong in their discussion, the mindset behind their discussion was fundamentally in error. Because every discussion, every machshava, every maisa that we do, the goal is, and particularly we're holding accountable this Dor Dea, this generation that stood in Mamad Har Sinai, to be a generation and to be individual who are always growing closer and walking with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, says Rav Wolbe, how does Hashem tell us that what we're doing is incorrect? Vayavo Amalek. What does Amalek represent? We know Amalek is described as Asher Korcha Baderech, that happened upon you on the way. Asher Korcha is Miloshon Krirus, which is the language of coldness. Amalek is that image of the boiling bath, and Amalek comes, jumps into the bath and cools it down. The Amalek, which represents Krirus, which comes on the outside, is coming as a lesson to us, to teach Klal Yisrael. Do you know why the coldness of Amalek is coming? Because there's a certain coolness within you. Because in your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's halicha levad. And because you're walking alone, I'm going to have this manifested and this reflected in the fact that a Amalek is going to come, which represents Krirus. And the language of the Shem Yishmul in Source 11, Im Kain, Bishvil, Sherafu, Yadayim, Mina Torah, Rafitim, their hands were weak in Torah, which means, Shelo, Hitchazku, Beregesh, HaNefesh, Ubechayus, Batara. They didn't have the passion, the enthusiasm. Therefore, they brought the Klipas of Amalek. Now, this is true in the first time that Klal Yisrael met up with Amalek, that there was something fundamentally wrong with their aspect, that there was this outside coldness which reflected inside coldness, and Amalek is coming to say, Klal Yisrael, your passion is waning. Klal Yisrael, it's time to feel that enthusiasm and that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can now appreciate why on Purim in Source number 18 it says, Yeshno Amechad, and the Gemara Megillah says, Yashnu Amechad, there was one nation that slept. Which means that although they were involved in a world of Torah mitzvot. They were sleeping in their Torah mitzvot. There was something fundamentally wrong in their avodas Hashem. That same problem, which was found by Amalek, is found by the Haman, the Purim story as well. There's fundamentally that passion, that enthusiasm is gone. But you know what, my friends? It goes much deeper than that. When we're talking about Amalek is coming because there is a certain coldness in our avodas Hashem. In reality, Amalek is coming as well to teach us that we have to introspect and ask ourselves, where are we in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where are we in our daily avoda? And that question, which was asked at the time of the Midbar, is the question which is really the fundamental question in the story of Purim. And it's not only a question that Klal Yisrael were sleeping, Yeshno Yashnu Amechad. At the time of the Purim story, there was a much deeper fundamental problem that existed. There was a much deeper fundamental aspect of this Halicha Levad of walking by themselves. Now we can appreciate the Medrash, source 12. Rav Pinkus explains, there's a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, very famous pasuk 12 and 13, where Lecha Hashem Hagidula Vagvura Vatziferet Vanetzach Vahod Kikol Bashamayim Uvaaretz. And we know this pasuk lists for us the midos of Hashem, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzachot. But there is an aspect at the end of the pasuk that we normally don't focus in on, which is also a mida nosefet. And that mida is ki kol bashamayim uva'aretz. And the Zohar explains this mida to mean that there is an achid b'shmaya va'ara. There is a unity, a connection between heaven and earth, which is me'achedet u'mekasheret ben hashamayim v'aretz. And the Kadmonim explain that the difference between a Rasha and a Tzaddik is a Rasha knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But the Rasha believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found Lamala Bekisei HaKavod, and he is found Lamata, and the two shall never meet. God's up in heaven and I'm down here, and as long as we don't bother each other, that's fine. What does a Tzaddik do? A Tzaddik is one who knows Mibara to Olam, but he also knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nimsa B'Toch HaLev Shelo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chelik ma'chayim shelo, and that he lives all the time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nimsa b'shamayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that our job, a tzaddik's job, is to connect between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is up in shamayim, but he's very much part of our lives, and our challenge is to be able to connect the two. Our challenge is to be able to live a world called Halicha Halacha, where I feel in everything I do that I'm walking with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in my mindset, in my machshava. It's not two separate worlds. I'm not living two lives. I'm living one life, and everything I do is connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we understand this, so now we can appreciate what went wrong at the Sukkah. And Rav Pinkus explains that historically, Klal Yisrael had many problems, right? We had a Churban, we had a destruction of the first temple. But all the problems that we have, even the fact that they were Hamim, Salem, Bahecha, all the problems we had were all coming from the fact that we were still Barmono Shalmelech, we lived in the king's house. So you may break windows, and you may destroy furniture, and you may do not nice things, but as long as you're in the house, you have a connection with the house, you have a connection with the individuals in the house. As long as we were living in Eretz Yisrael, we were connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were connected to the Armon Shel Melech. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found. We have this connection. What happens in the Purim story? Klal Yisrael, we know, went into Golos, and in Golos Bavel, we had great individuals who were Jewish leaders, Yechezkel, Navi, Zerubbabel, who, you know, were able to influence Klal Yisrael. But then the turning point comes close to 70 years after the destruction of the first temple.
And that's the time of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus makes a party. And at the party, he invites Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael come, and they eat of the food. Is there anything intrinsically wrong of eating the food? Perhaps not. It was the best hechsher. But listen to the lashon of the Medrash. The Medrash says, why did they deserve destruction? Mipnei shenenu ma'osel suda. Because they enjoyed that meal. What happened at the Suda? This is mamish, the turning point in Jewish history. At the Suda, they were able to say, you know what? Yes, there's a life called Torah Mitzvot. And yes, there's a life of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what? There's a life of levado. There's a life where we can live alone. And here it's not even a world having to do with spiritual things. They left even that path. They went even one step beyond Hayesh Hashem v'kirbeinu imayin, which was at least a philosophical discussion of, but yet, walking alone. Here it was enjoying a suda where there was no ounce of a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. It was about living life for life's sake. It was about, we don't need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about the nituk HaKesher, that you're severing the relationship, where you say, I can have chayim, I can have life, a life outside the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can live and have a good time. I don't need to be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. I can be mamish levad, I can be mamish alone. And that says Rav Pinkus. The nituk kesher kazeh in 15 humita, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to write a Megillah of destruction, it's not as a punishment, it's as a consequence. Once Klal Yisrael have cut that phone line, once Klal Yisrael have cut that, more than the phone line, they've cut that lifeline, they've cut the nituk, the kesher between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they've cut kivyachol the umbilical cord, the child can't survive. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to write Klaya. We've written it. We've created it. You can live a life outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's it. You've decided already that there's something called living Judaism outside of God. That's where you're going to get hanah. That's where you're going to get pleasure. That's what you think then. We don't need the whole system, because the whole system is predicated on working with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. You're not interested. You can find hana. You can find pleasure outside the world of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Finished. And again, that's not saying that you can't have pleasure in this world. Of course we have pleasure in this world. We buy nice clothes. We have nice food. We say it's an honor of Shabbos. We say it's an honor of Yontif. It's working with God. The problem is, for the first time, they've created an environment, a situation, where they felt that we can live and have pleasure outside the realm of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why, says Rav Pinkus, it's as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the end of 16, Amar lam a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Omnam, lo asitim aveirot, perhaps you haven't done any aveiros, aval hitnatakteh mimeni, but you've cut yourself off from me, Mata ein li'esek imachem. From now on, I have nothing to do with you. I don't know if this is an apt mashal or not, but something to think about, perhaps to bring it down to concrete terms. You can imagine a woman who's married with a family, who every night after dinner, right, you put the kids to sleep, and the husband goes out to learn. She hires a babysitter, and she goes out with another man. They go out to dinner, and they go out here, and they go out there. So when the husband hears about this, he says, what are you doing? She said, I've done nothing wrong. All we're doing is having a good time. Now, how would a husband feel about this? They've done nothing wrong. They're having dinner together. They're going out to the pier together. They're doing nothing wrong. They're just enjoying each other's company. How many husbands would say, great, honey, I think it's a wonderful idea. Why don't you do that every night? I mean, I'm encouraging you. I mean, what's going on here? It's nituk hakesher. It's breaking the relationship. And the result of breaking relationship is a husband will say, if you don't find the hana, the pleasure in our marriage, so then that's it. Goodbye, good luck, have a nice life. And that's what happened here. When we're in a situation like this, so therefore, Mordechai HaTzadik
has to create a new chibur, a new relationship, a new connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There has to be a new way of being able to bridge the gap. And that is why the Purim story is really the story about, once we've bridged the gap, how we live life on a totally different level. How he bridges the gap, we'll talk about in a moment. I just want to pause for one moment in 22. That if we understand that Purim is about Nituk HaKesher, that Purim is about breaking that relationship, so therefore when we celebrate Purim, a major part of the celebration is about the relationship being back intact. And it's about feeling that love and feeling that closeness and feeling that simcha, that joy, and avodas Hashem. And that's why Purim is celebrated in such a powerful, exuberant type of way, because we have no other pleasure than the pleasure of Torah. That's our greatest simcha. And we also have that when we send gifts to people, we don't call it stucca. We call it matanos lev yonim. Matanos lev yonim, my matana is a gift. It's not stucca, it's a gift. A gift means that I give it to somebody whom I love. It's all about love. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love his children. I'm spending the day in feelings of connection, in feelings of brotherhood. It's not, oh, you're a pity case, it's a stucca. No, it's a matana lev yoni. It's mishlochei manov. It's giving gifts. I'm celebrating in a way of recreating this relationship, both with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well as with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And through giving to his children, it's a way of an expression of love toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But the question still becomes, what did Mordechai HaTzadik do to be able to piece back that umbilical cord, to be able to reconnect the wires which were broken? So as Levi Eliyahu notes on the next page in 23, it was not done by political medium. Where Mordechai HaTzadik, who was sitting with Shar HaMelech, had many opportunities to have, you know, real political influence, perhaps with some of the Sarei HaMelech who could have influenced the king. No. What does Mordechai HaTzadik do? So we know in general, where Pinkus brings down in 25, that there are three things that are able to create a chibur between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Torah, Tshuva, and Tefillah. Mordechai HaTzadik opts for a different option, and that is Le'orer Rachamim, to awaken love in heaven. Because Mordechai HaTzadik knew that this is not just about doing mitzvos better. Because if it was just the case that a Malek is coming because we were rough with Yudei and we were weakened, but the connection is there, so then you have a gevaldik tefillah, you have a gevaldik tshuva. But this isn't the case here. Here the connection has mamish been severed. And since the connection has been severed, so therefore we need to do something that's going to reconnect that which is missing. And therefore, Vayavor, Mordechai, Chazal tell us that Mordechai instituted a 3-day fast where they fasted on Pesach that year. And according to some Rishonim, they didn't even have the mitzvah sayot. If it was just tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, that aspect, so then of course Mordechai would have had the most gevaldic Pesach. I need all the mitzvahs I can get. I need to have the best matzah and the best yayin and the best seder ever. I'm going to intensify that relationship. I'm going to walk with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And wow. But no. The problem isn't just a weakened connection. It's much deeper in this story. In this story, it's mamish. There is no connection. And that's why it seems logical that why would anybody fast for 3 days? It's illogical, really. To fast for 3 days means you're putting yourself on the line. You can't do more Torah mitzvah. If it's about intensifying Torah mitzvah, so the last thing you want to do is for fast for 3 days. Who has energy to do Torah mitzvahs? But it's not a fast of tshuva. It's not a fast of tefillah. It's a fast which is a unique aspect that Mordechai brings into the Jewish calendar. It's called a fast to be ma'orer rachamim. And that's why Chazal tell us, this is in source 24 and 26, that Mordechai HaTzadik takes with him the school children.
and he dresses them up as well, and he has them fast. The tinokot shel beit rabbanan. And the parents are crying because the kids are crying because the kids are fasting. And that's ma'orei rachamim on the parent. And it's ma'orei rachamim up in Shemayim. And he recognizes that the way to be able to open up the Sha'arei Shemayim is through the tefillah of being ma'orei rachamim, of opening up the gates of Shemayim, of being able to have Kadosh Baruch Hu listen to us. As Chazal darshan out the pasuk of that Mordechai is Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, and Chazal understand that each one of these names has to do with tefillah. Yair, Shirei, Nahem, that he awakened, opened the eyes of Klai Yisrael on the power of tefillah. And that you have the Shimi, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should listen to our tefillos. And Kish, that he was knocking down the doors of Shemayim. But it's a unique and special type of Hisaurus. It's Hisaurus of Rachamei Shemayim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it has nothing to do with us. It's not our Maisim Tovim, it's not our Pesach Seder, it's not our Matzah, it's not our Yayin. It's nothing we have done. We have severed the connection. We're asking just that a pure Rachamim Hashem come down and be able to reestablish a relationship. Not based on anything we've done. We've lost it. We're out of the picture. We're like a ghost face. We're barely alive. We're fasting 3 days. It's not us. It's only you. It's purely you. And that, says Rav Pinkus, is the difference between Purim and all the other Jewish holidays in the calendar year. 29, if you look at the Malach of all the Yamim Tovim, Pesach, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was redeemed Klai Yisrael in the Schus of Ayamen Ha'am. Shavuot, because Klai Yisrael said Naseh v'Nishma Zachu l'Kabbalat HaTorah. When they did Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. You have the ability of Lech Tech Acharei B'Midbar with Sukkot. You have the Mesiris Nefesh by Hanukkah. All the holidays Klai Yisrael do something. Purim is the exception. On Purim, it's the aspect of Bitachon. Lakir she'etzal Kadosh Baruch Hu ein shum machzon shum hagbala. It has nothing to do with us, but we understand that God can change anything. If we're able to step back, and that's what Purim tells us to do. Ein on hanagash shel sidrei teva. It's not about what we've done and that Kadosh Baruch Hu respond. It's pure rachamei shemayim. It's pure bitachon. Now we say that even if we're not deserving, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can act. And that is why Surat Taneh Shel Purim, second paragraph in 32, Haita lelo hishtatfut shel Klai Yisrael. What is unique about Purim is that we are really out of the picture. Ki'ilu shaKadosh Baruch Hu amir, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachul says, Atem techu atzida, you move aside, v'tnu li lasot et havada, and allow me to do the work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo po'el levado, he does everything. Mitoch rachamim v'ava. And he's not mitchashev ba'averos. He doesn't look at where we're at, because where we were at, the Purim story, we were worthy of being destroyed. And this is why Purim is l'mala ma'aseder shal olam, and why Purim is not bato in the future. And with this, we can understand the idea of on Purim, that a person, Chayev Adam Levesume Bepuria Adelo Yada, until he doesn't know between Baruch Haman and Arur Mordechai, what does this mean? So whether you actually get drunk or you drink a little bit more than you usually do and sleep, it means in both ways you are out of control. Move out. You are not in control of life. Getting somebody drunk or sleeping, and which is a way of being Yotzei Adelo Yada, is basically saying it's not about you. It's not about what you can accomplish. It's not about what you can do. You move aside. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And while all year round it's focused on us, we do this, we do that, our schus are this, there's one day a year where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not about you. It's about me. I am the focus. When Mordechai was ma'orei rachamim, the power of this day is the rachamim, is the tremendous mercy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has on us. And our only job on Purim is the bitachot, is the faith that this exists.
You know, it reminds me of a story. We're in a couple, we're married for many years without children. And they went literally throughout the world to different infertility clinics to try to have children without success. And they lived in Eretz Yisrael, and once they were on Shlichut in America. And at the end of their Shlichut there, they went to one of Rav Moshe Feinstein's sons to ask to get a bracha from Rav Moshe, I believe. So Rav Moshe asked them, did you try everything? They said, yes. He said to them again, do you feel you have done all that's in your ability to do a Piderech HaTeva? And they said, absolutely, we feel like we've reached our end of our ropes, we've tried everything. So Rav Moshe says, great, now that you've tried everything, you can step aside and let God take over. All you need now is Tefillah. He runs the show. And sure enough, on their way back from America to Eretz Yisrael, they stopped off in Europe. By the time they were in Eretz Yisrael, she was pregnant, and this couple was blessed with 9 children. This is what we're talking about. You step aside, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Once you recognize that it's not in your control, and that's all year, and obviously we need to involve ourselves in this physical world, but we need to never get caught up and feel like I can maneuver, I can control, I can do. Purim is the day that reminds us that no, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about recognizing that He's Lamala Min HaTeva. It's recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. It's about reestablishing our relationship with Him. And that's why Purim is a holiday of Kimu V'Kiblu Ayudim Aleim V'Alzaram. That Klal Yisrael were able to re-accept the Torah. Why was Purim the time of re-acceptance of the Torah? Because Purim is a time when there's a new chibur. There's a new relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Me'av Atanes, the language of our Chachamim myth, from the love of the miracle, because the point of Purim is Ava. The point of Purim is love. That I look at a HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a feeling of love, as a feeling of closeness. And that is why in 34, B'meshach hayom yeshet mitzvos hayom, acha ikar zu atfila shel Purim, zu ikar gadol. If you have to distill down what is the most important part of Purim, it's really about feeling that relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Feeling and really integrating that bitachon that anything can happen. And that living Purim is living that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. It's living tefillah. It's being able, shlecha Hashem yahavcha, being able to just throw on HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of your troubles. It's about being able to tap into the tzumos shayom, which the Rav Pinkus brings down from the Arizal. In 35, where he says, "Umechadesh Arizal sheikar tokef hadesh Purim eino be'etzem hatzala shezachu la ba'osasha." That the ikar of the nes of Purim is not only salvation at that time. Sharei sof kol sof kachi an hagativi, because after all, that's in the world of the natural. But rather, shebisman shel sakanat suma kazum is orer harachamim. What is the key of the Purim story? It's not just the physical salvation. It's much deeper than that. It's the rachamim that was found there. That Mordechai and the Sfarim bring down the Mordechai and Esther every year. Open up the Sharei Shamayim on Purim. That was what was the chiddush here. The tremendous amount of rachamim. V'sheoto tokov shel rachmanus, the rechitas shel ava. And the same amount of love and the passion of love that was able to burst forth, that caused Hatzalah, that caused the salvation, is mitchadesh b'chol shana v'shana ba'os amida mamish. That same amount of rachamim that was found then is found now. And our job, it's not like other holidays, which is a zecher to what happened. We are living what happened. The same amount of rachamim that was then is found now. If we could just like almost imagine that the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, you know, blank check, fill it in. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us every Purim. Who would have the audacity to say, God, I don't have time right now, I'm too busy with Mishlechei Manot and Suda and costumes to just fill in the amount on the check. I'll get to it another time. No. This is mamish, a blank check HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving up. It's a time of tremendous rachamim every single year. The time of Kriyas Megillah is ma'orir that rachamim. There's an inyan to davim after Kriyas Megillah, because that's the time when the Shari Shamayim are open.
at the Suda is the most intense time the Nesiva Shalom speaks about. It's Achas Bashana. This is the one time a year where all eyes are focused. That this is the time to mamish David. For Nafshi B'Sheilati, Ami B'Vakashati, to daven for personal bakashos, to daven for national bakashos. Someone had mentioned that in this past week's Mishpacha magazine, one woman suggested, she said, not only does she make a list of people she gives Mishlechei Manot to, and, you know, the different technical aspects of Purim, she makes a list of what to daven for, so that it's in front of her, she knows exactly, in Yishuv Adai, when she's calm, now, the week before Purim, to write down exactly what it's important to daven for. This is the time. And what makes Purim so special, as the Nesiva Shalom notes in 36, and with this we'll conclude, is that Yom Kippurim is like Purim, but Purim is higher. What's the difference? On Yom Kippur, we have the idea that if a person has the Gzeira, before the Gzeira is enacted, a person can daven. What is the godless of Purim, that Purim is even greater? Shav Shar Luvatel Afilu Atasher Even Gzeira, which already was, has the ability to be rescinded on Purim, because Purim is the apex of the year. What is the gadlus of Purim? Purim is the time where Klal Yisrael step out of the picture. Where Purim is the time where Mordechai is Ma'ore Rachamim, and that Rachamim, that love, that intensity is found every year on Purim. Our job is to be able to tap into this. Our job is to recognize what caused us this downfall. It's like the first time Amalek met us, it was Nituk HaKesher, it was Halicha Levad, we were walking by ourselves. Purim's story is one step deeper. It's Nanumo Sosuda, I have a life outside of God. I'm completely alone. While in the desert they're thinking about God and walking alone, here they were Mamish Levad. We can live a life of Hana outside of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mordechai HaTzadik had to recreate that nituk. And that's why the Avos were silent. If Kalai Yisrael's left the Kaddish Baruch, there's nothing to talk about. The umbilical cord is already cut. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, no, we still have the ability through. I'm davening up here. Mordechai HaTzadik davening below. The Tinoko Shalbeit Rabbanan. Not from Tshuva Tfilo Tzedakah, but from pure Rachamim. And that Rachamim is what comes out every single year on Purim, where we drink, where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you move aside, recognize it's all about me. You've tried everything, you feel like you've given up, now give it over to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then you'll see the Yeshua is going to come. And that is our challenge on Purim, to be able to feel what it means to have Yitchatshus HaKesher, the renewal of this relationship, to feel the passion in our Avodas Hashem, to feel the love in Mishlochei Manos and Matanos Lavyonim to other people, but more specifically, to feel that we're surrounded by the Rachamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we're able to tap into this very powerful time and daven for whatever we need with understanding and the real inner belief. It's not about me, it's not about what I've done, but even if I'm not Zocha, I am worthy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim, even if there is a gzeira, nechtam b'tabas hamelech, on Purim, it's possible to mevatel that. And we close with a bracha that we're all able, Mirtz Hashem, to tap into the koach and the tefillah of Purim, that all of our tefillos should be answered